Ask the Podcast Coach for August 9th, 2014.
Let's get ready to podcast.
There it is. Rock and rolling, bopping and bowling. And bowling? Sure, why not? Jumping and jiving, wailing, crying the blues, answering your questions on a Saturday morning. Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach. If you have podcasting questions, this is where you can get them answered live. I'm your smiling host, Dave Jackson from the theschoolofpodcasting.com. And joining me, as always, the one, the only, Jim Cullison from theaverageguy.tv. Jim, how's it going, buddy?
Yo, Dave. Happy Saturday morning to you.
It is happy Saturday morning, and we should probably say this up front. There will not be a Ask the Podcast Coach show next week, because I will be doing that whole podcast movement thing down in Tejas with all them there geeks. It's fun trying to explain.
I'm jealous, Dave.
Are you?
You're going down there. Yeah, and you know, I wish I had. I didn't know about it till late, and I just didn't get my act together. I've already got a couple conferences and meetups I'm doing in the fall, so I couldn't go. But yeah, it's going to be great. I'm looking forward. It kind of has that feel of the old podcast meetups of days, days of old.
Yeah, it's going to be. I don't know. I joke about this, but I'm really not. It's kind of like when I wake up. I'm always thinking about podcasting anyway. I literally just get a lobotomy of podcast thoughts. I wake up, and the minute my eyes open, it's like, boof, and it's like, okay, let's get working on that speech again. Oh, there's another great example. I could do that, and I got to do this, and that, and it just – so the problem is if I, like, wake up at 3 to go to the bathroom because I'm old, you know –
That's it. You're up.
I'm up. I'm like, ah, geez.
Keep a notepad by your nightstand, something, a tablet, something, so you can write that stuff
something
down.
Something like that. But yeah, so I'm really pumped, and by the time I get there, I will be a zombie because I'm not getting any sleep.
When is your actual session? What day?
You know, I was hoping you weren't going to ask me that because I don't know. I know it's about editing. Yeah, that's about all I know, to be honest with you. Well, if somebody wants to look that up.
You might want to check it.
Yeah.
I want to check it.
Podcast movement.
Before you go. Just saying.
And in case you were here last week, we had a weird little audio issue, and that audio issue followed me to Thursday night. I was doing a podcast review show, and to make a long story short, in the middle of it, my audio just went, that was it. We're done. And I could not get my machine to recognize my Griffin iMic. And it turns out that I, when in doubt, you always want to, when you're troubleshooting, try to separate any pieces, parts that you have involved. And I traced the cable of my Griffin iMic, which went into a USB hub, which went into an extension cord, which went into my computer. And I'm like, thank you, Sergeant Fred. I am on Sunday at 11:40. And so basically I took some of that out of the mixture. I no longer go into a USB hub. I just now go into a extension cable, and everything seems to be fine. Cause it was weird. Last week I wasn't making the green lights blink on the Google Hangout. And so hopefully everything is hunky dory.
As a tech guy, you got to be careful. USB is, especially when you introduce hubs and extension cables into your setup. You know, you want to get as short lengths as possible, and you want to get right into the computer if possible. So it's just one of those things. It would be better if you're going to be doing it permanently. And I'm not chastising you, Dave, but it's better to install, if you're short USB ports, it's better to install like a USB card in your computer and have it come out of that than go through hubs. Hubs are okay, but they're sketchy at best.
Yeah, and I'm assuming, you know, obviously there's some sort of signal there, and you're assuming that the signal you send into the hub is the right level and the voltage or whatever it is. Right. And there's always a chance if it's back in the day, my original degree was in electronic engineering, and I used to blow up all sorts of stuff because you would have the wrong voltage and stuff. Mm-hmm. And electricity, computers, they don't like it when you don't give them what they're looking for.
Some hubs are powered, some aren't. You got USB 2, USB 3. You know, you can overload a hub. You know, if you get some of those hubs that have 7 or 8 ports in them, you can overload those things. So it's just best if you can, especially with sound, if you can go native out of your computer, if you come right out of the shortest port as possible, you'll be better off.
Absolutely. Hey, if you want to get in on the action here, our number is 845-262-2401. That number again, 845-262-2401. And we should always mention that you can always find the chat that we talk about at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And I will wait. Mr. Conrad had sent us a question via email. Is he in the chat room?
I don't see him yet.
Not yet. All right. I will.
Davey, we can mention we set a record last week for people in listening live and in the chat, right? I think you sent that email over to me.
We did. We actually, I forget what the, do you remember what the number was?
30-some, I want to say. 32, yeah. 33, something like that.
And I thought about this. I don't know if it had anything to do with it, but it might have, is I made the Google event earlier in the week. And so it sat there and had time for people to say if they were going or not, where this morning I basically did it about 5 minutes before the show went live. And I thought, I wonder if that has anything to do with it. And I would say
That might be a good tip. Yeah, that might be a good tip. I've done that for the podcast I do for Gallup. I start them like 45 minutes before. And we don't get many listens. I am moving it though. I've somebody going to be helping me out with that, and part of his job will be creating those a week in advance so that they're just there. So that might be a good tip on Google Podcast. You know you're going to podcast for the most part, and if you get there and you're going to not do it, just cancel it, right? But
yeah,
that might help. That might be a good tip. I'll have to monkey around with that and see if I get more live listeners. Because I could schedule my Thursday show right now.
Yeah. See,
in fact, I'm going to do two shows on Thursday. I have a 7:30 in the morning interview at the UK in the UK, which I haven't done in a long time. Yeah. So it'll be fun to. Australia is easy. The UK is different. We Americans have to get up earlier for the UK audience, and then we'll do our regular show on Thursday night. So I'm going to do two in a day.
Awesome. I do not see Mr. Conrad in the chat room, so I'm going to go ahead and just read his email here. He's getting ready to apparently do some sort of morning show. He said, I had a heck of a time trying to hook my Heil PR40 to my iMac through either of my mixers and use Skype with call recorder. So we're talking Skype. I take it I need to use a mix minus, kind of. But just can't get it to work. The old PRC-2100 USB, I think he means the ATR, but that's what, still works fine with Skype and call recorder, but I like the sound better with the PR-40. He also uses two ATR-2100s when I record face-to-face. He has two mixers, a Behringer Q802 USB, which works well when I use it to record on my Mac, and he has a Mackie 402 VLZ4, which does not work so well, has a little bit of noise and not enough preamp. Well, that's a lot of info there. Well, anytime you're dealing with a Mac and Skype, you have to go into the system preferences and go into sound to adjust your volume. And the input is you, the recording is your guest. And this is where I was hoping he would call in, because that's really, I know he had sent me an email earlier about doing a Google Hangout and how do I adjust the volume on a Google Hangout, where there's a little thing called the control room on the left-hand side of the Google Hangout. And when you do that, anybody that's in the Hangout has a volume knob then on the right-hand side of the screen. So that's one of the things I really like about Google Hangouts. Yes, they squash the heck out of your audio. So if you're going to use the audio as a podcast later, it's kind of going to degrade.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad. It's good enough for most people.
Yeah, it's usable. And so you've got a built-in mixer right there, basically, by using the control room in that. So that's really been – and the other thing, I think most people know this. There is a Skype user called Echo, and it's a lovely British woman. Thank you for calling Skype, whatever it is. I should have that memorized.
Yeah, the call testing service.
Call testing service, yes. Mm-hmm. And so you can basically just keep calling that person and checking your recording and go that route. But I'm not sure, you know, with the Mackie, you're going to have to use some sort of USB interface or, you know, somehow take a cable from the Mackie and go into your computer, whether it's through something like a Griffin iMic or just go into your input of your Mac. Assuming there's an input, because I know sometimes the input is the headphone jack and that whole nine yards. But, you know, when in doubt, test. And I know we've said this before on the show, get a Skype buddy. Get somebody that you can just say, hey, do you got like 10 minutes for me to play with Skype and just play and test and go that route. And I don't know. I need to buy call recorder because I know some programs will automatically adjust the volume level. but I don't know that Call Recorder does. Yeah, and then one of, go ahead.
Keep going.
Well, I just see here.
The beauty of interrupting each other. One of the things when I'm out live, and I do a couple times a year, I go out and do conferences live. You know, I run all the microphones through one mixer and one mixer into the PC, and then at that point, it can be whatever. I mean, you can come out of your you can come out of the mains on, because you're not using the mains on your mixer at that point. So you can come out of your mains into your recorder if you want, for if you want, because you're getting then both sides of the conversation, which is great. Or you can then record that using any software that you want, whether it's Skype or Google Plus or Call Recorder, whatever you want to do. That way, it works out great. I come out of the headphone jack and I actually go into a headphone amplifier. So I have a 4-jack amplifier that allows me to come out of that headphone out. Then I can also headphone, or I can also monitor. The guests can monitor themselves if they want to. Now, typically they choose not to, but I don't know how people do it and don't monitor what the sound is like. I mean, I hear podcasters all the time where they're getting big pops, or they're getting, you know, there's stuff going on in their audio, and because they don't have earbuds in, or because they're not have headphones on, they don't know what they sound like. And so I think it's really, really, really key, if you're going to podcast, that someone is monitoring the sound quality in real time, not just after the fact. And so this happens a lot. Podcasters will go live, they don't know their Google Plus audio setting is set wrong. So it's set to the camera mic and not their mics. And so they've got all these expensive mics set up and they're talking and stuff like that. And then it's the crappiest sounding camera mic, you know, and they don't know, because they're not, you know, at that point they're either not monitoring or they haven't checked. So check all that stuff and make sure, especially in the Google Hangout, make sure you have the right audio setting for your mic. So you're using your equipment. I've heard guys do it and not use your equipment.
Yeah, that's always fun when, it was months ago, and you finally said, Dave, tap your mic. Yeah. And I did. You're like, yeah, that's not the mic. I was talking into the, it was picking me up from a mic that was like 3 feet away from me. And that was the other thing I had said to Bill. When you're using the 2100, just remember that's a dynamic microphone. And one of the easiest ways to make it louder is to get closer to the microphone. And, I saw some of his videos, yeah. And he was at a desk with like a mic arm, and he was a good, you know, foot and a half, 2 feet away from the mic. And I'm like, that will, that's not a good thing. So,
well, that's where monitoring your mics really become important, because then you'll hear what you sound like.
Yeah.
And nothing's harder to listen to than that room sound. And unfortunately, I do interviews for Gallup where I can't ship everybody a microphone. You know, there are times I just need to do interviews and I'm coming off their laptop mic. And that sound for any more than 5 or 10 minutes is so painful for so many people's ears. They're just going to tune you out and you're done. So, you know, do your best. If you've got a mic, get right up on it. We both of us here are right on our mics, and it's set for that. But I think the key is make sure you're monitoring. I've watched enough of these, you know, people do stuff where they're just in a room. Someone needs to monitor the sound quality.
Absolutely. Hey, we do have open phone lines. If you want to call in, you can go over to askthepodcastcoach.com/live. That's where the chat room is. If you just joined us, the phone number is 845-262-2401. And, speaking of the chat room, I will throw that in there. The chat room is always great with questions, but I think they're all shy. Nobody wants to call in.
I doubt they're all shy. As I look at this group, that is not a shy group.
A shy person in there? Nah, maybe not. But
no, not at all.
So, and speaking of a caller, we have one here ending in 0537.
Speaking of a caller.
And, I'm hearing myself back, but you're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Hey, it's JD Sutter in Phoenix. How are you doing, guys?
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Doing well.
Excellent. What's going on? What can we help you with?
Well, actually, I have a couple things. First, a comment. I want to disagree with you, Dave, about something you said a while back. I can't remember which show it's on, because we know Dave's everywhere. And I think it was on one of the episodes of the Podcasters Roundtable.
Okay.
You know, the whole discussion that's been going on about fluff at the beginning of your show and the chit-chat kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And you had made a comment saying that on a recent episode of the School of Podcasting that it took you, you know, so many minutes or such to get into your content. And you were kind of referring to, you know, your because of my podcast story and all of that kind of stuff as fluff at the beginning. But I would just wanted to say that I feel like, to me, that is part of your content because of the way that you run your show and the way you present everything. It feels to me that it doesn't feel like fluff. I think that it is actually part of your content. So I just thought I would point that out.
I would agree. I'm not sure. I'll have to go out and dig the show. I would agree with that because to me, fluff is my favorite example of fluff is I don't remember the show because I didn't subscribe to it, but they had a great title. It was something, you know, might as well have been how to make $1 million in 30 seconds or less. And I'm like ready to listen. And for 17 minutes, this guy went on about how he hated Bob Seger. And I'm like going, I want to hear about the $1 million thing. And he just kept going on and on. And finally I was just like, all right, well, you know what? I'm done. So to me, that was like the epitome of just chit chat and fluff and things like that. And but yeah, I actually this week I'm playing a rather lengthy interview with Pat Flynn, and so I'm really not going to have a whole lot of because of my podcast stories and things like that because the interview itself is about 40 minutes because it's Pat Flynn and he just kept bringing the gold. And although it'll probably end up being an hour because I'll be interrupting. He made so many really good points. I'll be interrupting that frequently, which I was reading my podcast reviews today, and I forget the one guy, I think it was like Donkey Party or something like that. That's always fun about the iTunes reviews, was saying that drives him crazy when I interrupt reviews, but I know other people are like, I really like that style, so you can't please everybody, but appreciate that. What's yep. any other questions you got going on?
Yeah, so the question I wanted to ask is, especially to you, because I know you've had experience with the membership site thing, and one of the podcasts that I do, we're kind of getting to that point where we're looking at setting up that kind of a thing up. And it's been on our mind for a while. And then, you know, in the last few months, we've seen this Patreon thing rise up. And so I'm kind of going back and forth and not sure how I'm going to go with this, but I'm wondering what would be like the pros and cons of maybe using a Patreon as, quote, your membership area rather than setting up a site, having to deal with the administrative things of logins and everything for people, just letting .com handle all of that kind of thing, and you just push out that exclusive content to members through that channel. What would you guys think about something like that?
The one thing is, and I think, Jim, you mentioned this, was it last week? You're just not a membership person.
I'm not.
Yeah. So you have
a lot of them.
So you have the gyms of the world that like, nah, you know what? As soon as I see monthly payment, I'm like, I'm out. The other thing that's the joy of a membership site is there are those people that A, hate PayPal. Then you have other people who will pay you with anything but PayPal or they only want to use PayPal. So you have that little hurdle to go over. And then the old, I can't log in. And then you go in and you see that the reason you can't log in is because you let your membership site expire. Like your PayPal whacked out or you changed your credit card number or something like that. So there is a little bit of administrative, not a lot, but you do get that occasionally like, I can't log in. And I go in and look at the user information. I'm like, oh, you expired on July 20th. That's why you can't log in. So that there is a little bit of support with that. With Patreon, now the good news is the only fees I pay are PayPal fees. So the money that comes into me pretty much comes into me minus whatever it is, 2.9% plus 25 cents for the transaction. I can't remember off the top of that of my head what Patreon takes for their cut. It is kind of easier, you know, in that aspect. Either way, whether you're doing Patreon or a membership site, in both cases, well, I shouldn't say in both cases, but with a membership site, if you want people to stay subscribed, you kind of have to keep creating content because otherwise they're going to go, well, I've consumed everything you've done. And why should I pay you another, you know, $20, $30, whatever it is? Where with Patreon, you can have it set up so that they only pay when you create content, right? They could pay per video or per episode. So there's not quite the pressure of, oh, I got to make new content or they're all going to jump out the window. So I kind of like that aspect of it. I'm not sure with me, the stuff I'd put on my Patreon page, it's a Google video that's been marked private. So in theory, they could share that. And, you know, my quote premium content would go all over the place. I've given up worrying about that. The person that really, really, really wants to steal my content can probably find a way. And that person was never going to pay me anyway. So
sure.
I kind of go both ways on this. I guess the thing I don't like about Patreon in a way is the fact that I don't own it. You know, it's not really, if Patreon goes away, then how do I get my members over to my site? But on the other hand, it is all automated. You know, the minute I put out a video, I think I make a buck from whatever 10 people now or something like that. So, I don't know if that's helpful or not. That's just from where I sit. Whatever you do, whether it's a membership site or Patreon or whatever you're doing, if you're doing if you're using something like, you know, Sells or Selfie now is a new one. If you're doing some sort of audiobook or a ebook that you're selling, you have to pimp it. It's not a case of if I build it, they will come. So if you have a membership site, you have to tell people, I have a membership site. If you'd like to sign up, here it is. And if you're doing the Patreon thing, you know, they're not just going to go over there and give you money unless you go over and tell them that. And yeah, Ryan, thank you. That's one of my favorite new quotes. Don't build on rented property. And, you know, the good news is Patreon just got like another, what was it, 5.4 million or something like that. So I don't think they're going anywhere, any place soon. But wherever you go, you're going to have to ask for the sale. That's one kind of hint. So anything I haven't hit yet that you'd like to know? I love Digital Access Pass.
Well,
that's my membership
site. Sorry, go ahead.
Digital Access Pass is the membership site that I recommend. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/getdap, D-A-P, that'll take you there. Now, it's a little more expensive than something like Wishlist, but it has a built-in affiliate program, and it also has a really easy-to-use drip feature where you can, you know, you can make 100 lessons and then say, give somebody the first lesson on day one, give them the second lesson on day 8, give the next one on day 15. It's super easy to do. Wishlist is a cool plugin. Their dripping feature is a little left of center in my book. You have to basically make a new membership type for each content that you want to drip. So Digital Access Pass is a little more costly. It's got a lot of stuff built into it, and their support is insane. And they're always making it, like now it integrates with Stripe. Stripe is a new payment service. And so I've been using them for many, many moons. So hopefully that.
Wow, great. Thank you for the information.
Yep. Where's your website at?
At jdsutter.me. That's my blog.
Awesome.
And then all of our shows are at porchlightfamilymedia.com.
Very cool. Anything else we can help you with?
I think that's it. I just want to say thanks to Jim for helping me out with that Audio Boo support thing a while back. It was a couple of weeks ago, but got it all worked out, and he jumped in there and got their attention.
Yeah, you bet, JD. No problem.
Awesome. Jim, anything,
have a good day, folks.
You too. Jim, anything you want to add to the whole membership Patreon?
To that discussion? Yeah. No, that is an area of podcasting I have not even explored at all. So I would just be ignorant guessing.
The other thing I should probably say is on occasion, if you have been giving away things for free and then you don't, you'll be called the devil. There are those people like, what? I got to pay for it now? You know, and it's like,
yeah, it's a slippery slope. Yeah. And, from the other side of the chair, you know, from the listener side of the chair, there are just few things that I really want to pay for on some of, you know, in some of those arenas. And I do, I mean, if I there are services I pay for and I really like it, but I'm pretty cautious and pretty careful about what I pay for. So it really needs to be good content.
Yeah. We've talked about this in the past where you start subscribing to everything. Yeah. Like the other day, I am still subscribed to OptimizePress, it turns out, and I'm not using them. I'm not using the thing I'm paying for. And I'm like, you know, there's whatever it is, $17, $11, something that's not like $1 million. But I was like, yeah, it's $17. That's half a tank of gas. You know, and like, if I'm not using it, I might as well kill it. So, but
yeah, Yeah, it's just one of those things. It's tough. It's another like checking your stats. It's another thing that's going to consume a lot of your time. So you have to, if you're going to go into membership, you have to be ready, because you mentioned it, you got to be able to deal with payments. You have to deal with logins. You're now tech support for people who can't log in, right? All those things. You better be ready. It's just not set it and forget it. You have to maintain that. You have to hustle it. Those things work only when you hustle.
Yeah, I use a system called RhinoSupport.com for my if you go out to the School of Podcasting, you'll see the contact button in the upper left hand corner, and that's a contact button, but I also use that. I try to get the members of the School of Podcasting to use that, because it keeps things out of my email, which is kind of a bummer, because for years I've just said, hey, Dave at schoolofpodcasting.com, and it's kind of subsided a little bit. But man, in like July, I don't know whose email I got on, but I was just getting a ton of email. And people would get lost. I'd have to go through and make sure. So I've been using Rhino Support for a while. Plus, it has a built-in knowledge base. It has frequently asked questions. It's got a lot more stuff than just a contact button. But that was just something where when I got to a certain point, I was like, all right, there are free versions out there of other stuff. But I found this one, and I really liked it, and it worked with WordPress. And it's actually the guys behind Wishlist, that membership script, actually make the Rhino Support team. So I brought that on to help with that, because it's your tech support. And the other
This is an area where let me say this real quick. This is an area where forums and getting other guys or gals to help you a little bit in your community, giving them some rights and access and privileges to do some things that will, they can answer some questions for you. They'll probably be on when you're not, and vice versa. Yeah. So get your best engaged people involved in what you're doing, and maybe throw them some bones. Maybe they get free access to everything for helping you out, but then they help you with some of that support on the backside.
Yeah, that's one of the coolest things I've put together is our private Facebook group, because that is a lot of that. There's a lot of questions that, they'll ask me, but everybody else will chime in, which is great, because somebody just threw in there some sort of place that does graphics I had never heard of. So you're always learning new stuff and things of that nature. And we got another caller ending in 0410. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Hey, Dave. Hey, Jim. My name is Andy Sokolovich, calling you from the great city of Clinton, Iowa, here on the eastern edge of the state. My question is, can I use my RSS feed from my Spreaker account to transfer my podcast to iTunes?
You can. The thing I don't like about Spreaker, one of the things, I mean, they're great, is they have, to the best of my knowledge, I'll have to double check on this, I don't think there's a way to, if Spreaker does something, there's another service that comes out, you really, really like it, and you want to move, mm-hmm. Well, number one, make sure you submit it to iTunes, right. Which sounds weird, as opposed to letting them do it or something like that. There's nothing in their back end that I see that you can go, hey, iTunes, I was here on Spreaker, but now I'm over here on my own site, or I'm using Libsyn or something like that. I like to see that in a media host, so that if I want to leave, I can. In theory, if you submit it to iTunes, you should be able to send an email to podcasts@apple.com and say, hey, I was here on Spreaker. My new RSS feed is over here. So that kind of, to a certain extent, eliminates that whole argument. But as far as I know, they have all the tags and images and things like that. So you could. So you're using them as your primary media host in this case?
Spreaker I am now. I mean, I'm very new to podcasting. Jim actually knows me. He's been helping me out and stuff on the side. But the other day I tried to upload the RSS feed to, recommend it to, as an addition to iTunes. And the error message I got back was the pixel width of my header image. So I'm not sure how to get around that. It's telling me that my header image for the RSS that I submitted is too small.
Yeah, well,
I'm not sure. I need to fix about that.
Yeah, your artwork needs to be 1400 by 1400 pixels for your actual image. There are two things you want to do. In this one, I learned about a month ago. You need to go to feedvalidator.org, and it'll let you know if your feed is valid. And this was a head scratcher for me. Then you want to go to iTunes and go in, turn on the menu, and somewhere in iTunes you go subscribe to podcast and paste your feed in there. and make sure it works, because, and I still have yet to figure this one out. I have one of my podcasts that's kind of pod faded is the Julian Michaels Show. The feed was valid, but it wouldn't work in iTunes. And I switched themes and a couple other things. And in the end, I just said, I don't have time to play with this, and just submitted my Libsyn feed, which was perfectly fine and works and things of that nature. But that's where, you know, Rob Walsh somewhere is going, yes, I told you WordPress will mess up your feed. And I'm like, in that case, yeah. And I still am not, I just don't care about, well, I shouldn't say I don't care about that podcast, but that is not a passion podcast of mine, the Julian Michaels Show. That's one I kind of did for fun and things like that. So, so yeah.
So the artwork it's referring to is the art that I have uploaded to Spreaker.
Well, you should have. Let me log into my.
Let me jump in and say yes. Okay. So that feed that you're, the RSS feed that you're sending to Spreaker is grabbing your Spreaker art. And in most cases, you know, Spreaker will take anything for the art that you give to them. They don't care initially, but iTunes is checking the feed as it's coming in, and they're validating for that 14x14. Now it sounds like. So you want to. Andy, you would want to upload that your new 14x14 graphics into Spreaker to make that your main show art that's in there. But let me say, this is a bad idea. Don't use Spreaker as your main feed for iTunes. It's just not a great way to go about doing this.
Yeah,
It sounds good on the surface because they're giving away free hosting and you're already there and it's one less thing you have to do and some of those other things. But iTunes is so important in what you do. This is where I totally agree with everybody in the community. We really need to get you on your own content, where the MP3 files are hosted by you, right? It's media hosting.
Okay.
And so we just I can work with you on that, but it's super important that, at least from my standpoint, that you get, because Spreaker eventually has limits. Even if you're an iHeartRadio subscriber, they blow it out to like 1,500 hours, which is virtually unlimited, but it's not unlimited in that sense. And so you don't know what's going to happen if you get popular. You don't know what's going to happen if the agreement between iHeartRadio and Spreaker breaks down. I don't like their RSS feeds. They're great for a lot of things. They're not a host provider. They're not a content provider. So my recommendation is let's go a different direction for you.
Yeah, the head of Spreaker was on the New Media Show with Todd Cochran and Rob Greenlee, and he hinted that, because when you get accepted to iHeartRadio, they pay for your Spreaker bill. Mm-hmm. You're like, hey, congratulations, you're pro. Put up a billion hours. Who cares? And he made it sound like iHeartRadio might be going, you know, after a year, we might kind of go, you gotta pay your way now if you're going to stay on iHeartRadio, which would make sense from a Spreaker standpoint. Hey, I'll lure them in. You guys pay for a year. And then after that, they'll pay us. So Spreaker wins. And then iHeartRadio gets content that nobody can find on their app.
Yeah. Great, great evangelism sites.
So again,
Mixler. No, go ahead, Andy.
No, I said it's just like the quote Dave said earlier is don't build on property that you're renting. So it makes sense to have control of at least your fee or the content that you're putting out there on your own server. And I think that makes a lot of sense. I was attracted to it because of the simplicity of just cut and paste. But now you guys have educated me, so I see the value in doing it on my own server.
Yeah, because even if you used Spreaker for your host and you're on your own website, and later you change. I had somebody that was on the podcast review show. They were using their own website for their media host. And then all you have to do is swap out the audio and say, okay, I was on Spreaker, and now I'm on Blueberry or Libsyn. And you just copy and paste the new URL, and you know, you're everybody goes to the same place, which is your website.
Yeah, this is where complexity is good. You want complexity because you're going to set it up once, right? But complexity will save your butt in the long run. So don't. This is the one area, you know, typically you're like, go the easy way because that's, you know, it saves you time. This is not one of them. When you're setting up your audio and video feeds, you want to have the best possible, because you only get one. I don't want to say you only get one, but if you have to unwind this in the future, if you something happens, people close down, you got to shift your video or audio and video where it's being stored, that is a nightmare, especially the more content you have, the more posts you have to go back to.
Yeah, he figured this out at episode 46. So he has to go back and copy and paste 46 episodes. Well, and
Jim did it to 100, right? I went back and had to fix every single post from 100 on back. Wow. So, it took me like 6 weeks of working, 3 hours a Saturday.
Here's a question.
Good. I'm glad I did my due diligence and asked you guys.
Yeah. Andy, hook up with me later, and I'll talk you through some options.
All right, and Jim, by the way, my wife walked past the computer screen and said bacon does, in fact, make everything better. So you have a t-shirt fan out there. All right, guys.
All right, good enough, Andy. Thanks for calling in.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Dustin has a question in the chat room. Says, how do you tell a friend who started podcasting on Blog Talk Radio without offending them that they are doing something wrong? Well, send them to School of Podcasting and tell them to search. You want to hear something really bizarre? Blog Talk Radio has an affiliate program, and I've actually earned $2 off the page where I say, here's the 12 reasons why you shouldn't use Blog Talk Radio. Somebody actually went there and then signed up. That blows my mind. I actually thought it was interesting that people who tuned into my show and listened to me interview Cliff Ravenscraft, God bless him, signed up for his A to Z class, and I made more from that commission to Cliff's class than I would if they signed up for the School of Podcasting and stuck around for a year. Then I'm like, okay, that's, I'll take it. Yeah.
You tell your friend, you take two audio files, right?
Yeah.
You have them listen. First, have them listen to what they sound like on Blog Talk Radio. So have them go listen to their own. I think this is what's happened is people don't listen to themselves on Blog Talk Radio, right? They're providing content and they're never going back. They're listening there because you – How often do you go back and listen to your content on your site, which you should be doing regularly,
right,
by the way? But a lot of us don't do that. And so I don't think they're making it back. Have them go listen to them on their site, then have them listen to their original audio file, like right,
night and day.
A to B. Have them connect them. Oh, my God. That's how you tell a friend, don't do that.
Rich in the chat room says, friends don't let friends use Blog Talk Radio. Yeah, plus, of course, go listen to your audio on Blog Talk Radio after the ad quits running and you can find the play button.
By the way, do the same thing on Stitcher and see if, we pimp Stitcher pretty solidly, but do the same thing. Yeah. Listen to it, have your, put Stitcher up on one side and put your audio file up on the other and play both. If you're comfortable with that quality, then go with it.
Yeah, I just saw, I got an email, I think it was yesterday, Stitcher came out with a new player now. So if you wanted to put a player on your website with more listen to later and all these other fun things. So
it's more shareable, more HTML5, more options. They're realizing too, as they're getting bigger, they're getting realizing they've got to do a little bit more and give the community back a little bit more. I think their audio is going to get better too. I think that has to happen on Stitcher.
You would think. Because it's close, and then
it is. It's just a little bit in the car. You can't hear it, which is, I think, what they're banking on. It's hard. It's hard if you're in the car and stuff. But man, you put it on earbuds, and maybe a half an hour, and then I'm like, I got to listen to something else. And it's not because it's bad content. It's just you can hear the compression in there, and you're just this is killing me. So the good news is they're doing everything they can to get everywhere. And I like that in a company, right? They're doing the thing I think we have to watch for with Stitcher is the ads that are coming next. I think they've got to monetize this somehow.
Well, they are. I don't know if you've listened in a while, but that's one of the reasons why because I went over there to experiment and I like it. I get the service and I like the fact that I could, come into my office and fire up the Stitcher player on my computer and it would pick up right where I left off in my car. I love that. But one of the things that I was like, I think I'm about done with this, is every time I hit pause and hit play again, I would have to hear about LegalZoom again. And I'm like, really? Because I hit pause because I had to take a phone call and you're going to throw another ad. And so it seemed like any time I stopped and hit start again, every start was preceded by, again, not super long, maybe 15-second advertisement. But I was like, how about in between each show, not in between each start and stop, it seemed to be getting a little out of control.
Yeah.
And I was like,
well, at least you don't have to listen to Laporte style ads every time they do that.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Cause he does kind of go on.
He does do long ones. I was just listening to a recent episode of Windows Weekly and the Audible ad seriously was 5 minutes.
Nice.
I was like, wow. Now there's some good stuff in there, right? I mean, they're talking about different books, and if you're an Audible listener, they make some great recommendations, but technically the ad was 5 minutes long and wow. You're just kind of like, wow. Okay. Well, I'm going to keep listening cause I love the show, but that's just a little bit of commentary.
Well, we were talking about how maybe one of the reasons why we had so many people in the chat room and things like that last week was I had gone through and put the post out earlier. I know you had made some notes about automating some things with your podcast, and being that we have no people on the line at the moment while we wait.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about how never to let your audience not know that you're doing a podcast. So, you know, one of the nice things about Mixer or Spreaker in general, and even with Google Plus, when you create a new event, when you are doing things, it automatically sends some notifications out for you. And so I think that's the key. We'll cover that after this call.
I was going to say, as soon as I said, we don't have any callers, which is good. I'm not complaining. Ending in 0240. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Hey, this is Tommy Kendrick.
Hey, how are you?
Am I on?
You are on, my friend.
Oh, good. Well, this is kind of weird because I had to mute you, and so now I can't hear, but okay. Guys, I just recorded an interview where there was a lot of computer fan noise, and I'm wondering if you guys have ever had to deal with that and taking it out in Adobe Audition in particular.
Yeah, you can use the noise reduction. The beauty of that is the preview button because – on one hand, well, number one, I usually try when I record an interview, especially at the end or the beginning, to say, let's just pause for 5 seconds, and that will give you a nice clean spot to go in and grab the noise. And then you can go in and say, okay, take this noise and remove it. And there's a little slider there that you can go from whatever 0 to 100%. I think if you go above 48%, it shows it's yellow. And if you go above that, and there are times when you can really take it completely out and go to 100% and it doesn't affect a thing. It still sounds good. And then there are other times, depending on what that noise is, that noise, unfortunately, is in the same kind of audio spectrum of the voice. And that's where you start having people, like, especially if they breathe, if they take a breath, it sounds like it's weird. It's like they're under the ocean or something like that. So for me, it's a matter of preview, you know, move it up to 51. Great. Okay. Let's go up to 60%. And it's kind of time consuming, but, you know, or find a place instead of doing your whole file, you know, just do it to a certain location so you can kind of preview it there. And then once you get the right setting, go back and do your whole file. And then the other thing I usually do
Let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
Have you used the adaptive noise reduction feature?
I've played with it. I don't know why I didn't use it, to be honest with you, because that's the one that's supposed to listen ahead and take the noise. And,
right.
And to me, it always seemed kind of weird because on paper, then it means the sound's going to sound better at the end of the show than at the beginning. And I'm like, well, that doesn't seem to make much sense in my book.
The issue I was having with the adaptive, and I'm not sure, even trying to use it correctly, is I do have room tone, basically,
mm-hmm.
but how do you apply your file? Because this stinking fan noise is underneath the whole thing. And, of course, I forgot to record on separate channels, so that screwed that up. So,
yeah, that's any time you can do that, that's always great.
Tommy, is that your fan or the guest's fan?
No, it's not my fan. My sound was great. It was my guest's fan, and we worked and worked and worked trying to get rid of that. And it just, you know, I think it was a laptop fan, and it was
those are notorious for it. They have a higher end laptop, and those fans sometimes are really close to the microphones because there's just not a lot of space on a laptop to, you know, get things done, and so. When the air outtake is close to the microphone, then you're automatically going to pick up that fan noise. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've tried the noise reduction. I'm playing with it and I can get rid of it. I just am not quite sure how to get rid of it through the entire file and then not alter, of course, the good sound, which you don't want to do.
Yeah, usually if it's in one place, it's unless the fan turned on and off and on and off in the middle of the recording. Usually if it's there, it's through the whole thing. And
yeah, it is.
Yeah, and that's where usually I just, once I find the noise and I've kind of tested it, there's usually a button right there that says select entire file. And it will select your entire file, and then you can say, okay, now, right, you know, do your business, and it usually goes through. And
yeah, yeah. So I'll just keep playing with it. Hey, thanks, guys. This is my first time to actually get up early enough on Saturday and not forget about your show, and I'm really, really enjoying it. So
thank you.
You're doing a great job. Thank you.
You got a website?
Yeah. Thanks, Tommy. Hey, appreciate it.
Look forward to seeing you at the podcast movement, Dave.
Absolutely, man. Come tackle me. And you got a website, Tommy?
Yeah, it's actorstalkpodcast.com.
Awesome.
Actorstalkpodcast.com.
All right, Tom.
Interview actors and directors and writers and casting directors and all people involved in the film, movie, and acting business.
Awesome. Well, very thanks. Cool. Thanks for calling in,
Tommy. Thanks, Tommy. Great talking to you.
Take care. God bless.
Ending in 7440, you're now on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and your question?
Hey, Russ Johns here.
Hey,
good
Russ.
Good morning, guys. Long-time listener.
Hey, thanks.
Hey, I just, you know, in this conversation with Spreaker and hosting and, you know, the combination of the platforms that you're dealing with for the, I've actually had the opportunity to produce over 1,000 shows here on a local basis with live broadcast over Spreaker. And then we take the audio files and bring those down and store them on Amazon on another host. And I wanted to find out what your thoughts were about taking the host and then uploading it to Spreaker to generate the links and the connections to the other platforms that Spreaker affords you, so you have two different platforms to originate your audio from.
As just a way
to drive traffic.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like when I use, like, even Libsyn has a cool way to, you know, point, you can upload to LinkedIn, you can go to Tumblr, you can go to Facebook, is unless you go in and specify, most of the time those services point those, you know, social media sites back to Spreaker, not to your website. And so that's the only thing I typically don't like. I like things to point back to my website, number one, for the Google juice. And number two, again, it's I want to own that. I want to, because, you know, unless I can put a email sign-up form or whatever it is I'm trying to grow my audience with on Spreaker, yeah, I get another listener and maybe another subscriber, but I'd much rather have them go back to my website. Jim, any thoughts on that?
Russ, are you talking about, so you would have one Spreaker account that would record it live and then a second Spreaker account that you would upload to that would have the mixed audio kind of when you're done with it, you know, that you'd push it up to? So two separate, or hosting both those concepts in the same Spreaker account?
No, I'm actually talking about separating the audio, because there's two ways that I'm promoting audio. One is a live feed where I actually have broadcasters broadcasting high school varsity games, and it's live at the moment, and it's actually also broadcast on a local radio station. And then the audio is then taken down and stored offsite, you know, so, you know, if we decide to go to another platform, we have all those audio files that we can share. The thing that I'm looking at now is for a small business owner that wants to simplify it, and, you know, there's simplicity and there's complexity, and what Spreaker affords what I believe is pretty solid is the opportunity to record those shows, broadcast it on multiple platforms. The downside with Spreaker is that the RSS feed historically has not allowed you to, you know, own that RSS feed. And that's one of the big things that your own media host provides. However, they just updated the RSS feed, and I haven't looked at it yet and tested it. And I know that they're also going to be looking at maybe allowing third-party calling to actually come into Spreaker. as the CEO mentioned in another show. And so I'm looking at this for small business owners and really making a simple platform that they can record, broadcast, and share it on their sites. And the only thing that I really see as a downside is the RSS feed. So I'm just going to...
Well, I'm a big fan of Spreaker from simplicity and it, all the things that you said, right? Using it for event, you know, to get the audio out, for the platform, for, I love the notifications. We were going to talk about that here. You know, I love all those things. I just would not want it to be my primary audio source. I still want my stuff coming back to my site where I can control the look and feel. I actually take the Spreaker embed and I use that. I put it on my site as well as the player that's on my own host provider. So I think there's some combinations of that. I just, and I'm glad you mentioned the RSS update on Spreaker because they did make some changes and now they, you can customize your RSS feed, which you couldn't do before. I had not seen that. And so that's new to me and new to what we're doing here. And so if you're on Spreaker, you might want to go take a peek at the RSS feed customization options. You have both auto and manual. And now I'm seeing where Andy was saying his picture was too small because they'll warn you on Spreaker if your cover art image is too small, they'll warn you that it is. So Russ, thanks for bringing that up because that's kind of new to me as well.
Yeah, and the other thing that I'm really excited about, is, and I know that people are waiting for, is the reduction of complexity and allowing callers to join an interview process. And Spreaker's mentioned that they're working in a beta program for that. So I'm kind of excited about where it's going, and I just appreciate you guys and learning lots, and I'm sharing it as well. So thanks for what you're doing.
You bet, Russ. Appreciate you calling in. Tell us, give us your site? Hey, Russ, before you go, your site, where we can find you?
Yeah. You can go to russjohns.com.
Is that just,
I got several others. I'm out on the interweb.
Johns, or?
Johns. russjohns.com.
Excellent.
So
very cool. Thanks, Russ. Appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, I'll have to look
into that.
I'll have to look into that. The ability to update your RSS.
No, I'm in Spreaker right now, and if you go to your account in settings, look over on the right hand side. There's an option called RSS feed customization, and if you click on that, there's both an auto and a manual setting for that. I'm assuming the auto is just picking up everything native as you've put it in to your profile in Spreaker. And then if you click over to the manual, it gives you complete customization of all those fields in there. And so title, subtitle, summary, category. In my case, my cover art that I've put in is not – it says warning, the size of this image is less than 600 by 600. And it says cover art must be JPEG or PNG file at a minimum size of 600 by 600. And then here's the key. For best results and to be considered for the promotion in the iTunes store or for podcast app on iOS, cover art must be at least 1400 by 1400. So this goes back to Andy, right? It, you can use that RSS feed. Again, I don't recommend it, but you could use this for iTunes if you wanted to.
Interesting.
Yeah. No, it's pretty cool. I had not seen this. So thanks, Russ, for bringing this up, which is cool because it means Spreaker might be listening.
Yeah, right? I think they do.
Yeah,
I know. I've had some emails with them because they've said, "Why don't you recognize this, or why don't you recommend us as a sole media host?" And I'm like, "Well, number one, give me the ability to leave. Number two, quit jacking with my file. If you're pulling it in from an RSS feed, you mess up my ID3 tags, and you put in that artwork that I have in Spreaker as the artwork for the MP3." I'm like, "No, what I upload is what I want to be there." And they changed the file name, and I'm like, so that's why I don't recommend it. But the big one is I want to be able to leave if I want to, just because.
Yeah. Dave, I don't think people realize how important that is. You say that all the time because I want to be able to leave. Mm-hmm. So let me mention this real quick. So if you're on Spreaker and your MP3 is going to be spreaker.com/your username/whatever.mp3, right? That's what you're going to give to iTunes. That's going to be the point of record for your audio file. That's where everybody's going to get access to it. If people start linking to you, that's where it's going to go. If for whatever reason you have to leave Spreaker, then you've got to change. Okay, so now where is it going to go, right? You got to point it to somewhere else. In most cases, or in what I recommend in most cases, if you have your own media host provider, it's going to be your domain slash audio, whatever you do, slash your MP3 name, right? Whatever that's going to be. Then that's your stuff. You own it, right? If something changes, you can move host providers and just change the DNS record, and it will automatically find it again. Yep. If you start with Spreaker and you back away, then you got to go through everything you've already done and change it to a new provider. That's what Dave's talking about when he says, when he's talking about that. It's a mess. And if you get a bunch of them, it's even worse. So this is serious business when we talk about where you host your media files.
Yeah, I mean, I keep hearing rumors that Apple may be sniffing the idea, because I know they created a content delivery network for Apple, and it's always like, content delivery, Apple, who would need content delivery that Apple plays? And I went, that would be interesting if they then, you know, maybe they don't have a way to make people, maybe there's no way to, you know, you can buy things on iTunes, but there's no way to buy a podcast. And I'm like, but maybe if they had more control over the situation, that could be interesting if they ever
It's just key that your content is not at someoneelse.com. Okay. Yeah. It needs to be at yoursite.com. That's the best possible, yourdomain.com. That's the best possible scenario for you. Now, that's the complex solution, right? Because you have to register a domain and set up pay for a media host and do all those things. But in the long run, once you set that up and then you go 100 shows with it that way, you will be glad you did. You just do not want that to be – you don't want your primary. Let me say this. I mean, Spreaker, Mixler, Podomatic, and such, those are great sources to just put your stuff on for evangelism, right? To put it on so people can find it. It's great for that kind of stuff. It's not great when it's your primary provider.
Well, Jim, I've turned off the phone because we're slowly running out of time. But I wanted you to you started to talk about automating your show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And well, I wanted to
automating
hear about
the
that.
Notifications. Yeah. So I talked about Spreaker and Mixler having – one of the beauties of using them is they have this notification option. Somebody called in today and said, hey, I'm listening because I got the – I think it was in chat. Hey, I'm listening because I got the notification. I almost forgot the show was. That's so important, especially when you're live, to let your guests know that you've gone live, because they're not thinking about it, right? In the world of DVR, we just, I'll watch it whenever I want, and live's important at times, and so to notify them. So there are two services we've talked about in the past, but one, If This Then That. I think you find that at itfff.com, and then Zapier. I'm going to have them on my show here in a week or two. Zapier, Zapier.com. Both of them have the option to auto-tweet based on time, which is pretty cool. So if you do a regular show, you can say, hey, on Saturday mornings, and I just did this morning for Ask the Podcast Coach. Every Saturday morning, 9 a.m., half an hour before the show, 9 a.m. Central, tweet that I'm going live on Ask the Podcast Coach. And so I'd get down here and I'd get busy and I'd get working and then the show would start and, I forgot to tweet it. You'll never forget to tweet again if you set that up automatically. You'll have to remember to shut it off when you're out,
right,
and you're not podcasting. But that will encourage you to put a show in its place when you're gone or something like that. But that being said, using either one of those services to mimic this notification option. And by the way, you can send those notifications to just about any service that's out there. So send it directly to your buffer and queue it up for time. So you can track it if you want to do it that way. You can send it through Twitter, I mentioned. You can send it to your Facebook page or group. You can send that to a LinkedIn group or your LinkedIn page if you want to. And you could even create a Snapchat if you wanted to do that and send it to some people directly on Snapchat. So there's some options. Well, I don't know why you would, but in case you do, you can. There are some options for you. This automation stuff is just very helpful in making sure you don't forget. You got a lot of things on your mind, especially when you're going live. Take some of the complexity out and set some stuff up automatic. Those are the two services I like. I'd love it if you have other ways of automating. I know we talked about Social Bro and they have some automation, but if you're using something else for automation, I'd love to hear about it. Jim@theaverageguy.tv.
Yeah, because he is – did you interview the guys from Social Bro yet?
No, that's coming up this Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m.
Russ is in the chat room. He says, is there a show that you walk through your audio and routing setup for phone calls. It is. It's part of the Patreon account. We were talking about that earlier. If you go out to askthepodcastcoach.com, there's a big thing there for Patreon, and you can be a patron for, I think, a buck, and you get access to extra content that way. So.
And it's not easy, by the way. Dave goes through hoops. He sacrifices a chicken. He does some other things to make sure this call-in works each and every week. It's not easy.
It's always fun. But speaking of automating and making sure not to send it out when you're not doing the show, we mentioned this at the top of the show. There won't be an Ask the Podcast show next week unless we somehow
No, we're not.
I'm going to say, because if I do this and give you all my passwords and I'm like,
no, it's messy. This is a lesson learned. Just take a week off.
Yeah, that'll work. So, so there won't be a show next week. We'll be at Podcast Movement. If you are going to Podcast Movement and you see me, you see what I look like. I'll have a little shorter hair. That's why there's not going to be a ton of after show today, because I'm going to get my wig busted. Please come up and say hi. Don't go, oh, I don't want to bother me. No, please come bug me. You know, I jokingly said in the last school of podcasting to come poke me in the belly because I'm like the Pillsbury Doughboy. Whatever you want to do, just do not worry about bugging me or whatever, or just, you know,
you're a hugger too, right?
I am a hugger. I like to hug. Appropriate hugs, of course. Please don't grab my butt unless I ask you to. I'm pumped up for I might be doing updates via Spreaker on my phone. So I might just occasionally hit that and go, yeah, I just listened to so-and-so and blah, blah, blah. Just as a mental way of taking notes. So I might do that. So, Ryan knows I'm a hugger. How many millionaires will be made at Podcast Movement? Well, that's a good question. Thousands, yes. All you have to do.
Millions, maybe.
Is put out a daily show and that's it. The money will rain in. So we will be back. What is 2 weeks from today? What is that?
Today is the 9th.
That'll be the 23rd.
So that would be, the 23rd. We'll be back here doing it all over again.
And as always, you can find the show at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. You can follow me at Learn to Podcast. Jim, where can they follow you? Speaking of Twitter,
theaverageguy.tv or at Jay Collison on Twitter.
There you go. And you'll get the tweet that reminds you that, hey, we're live.
I'll have to remember to shut that tweet off for next week. I just set it up, and now I'll need to turn it off. I'll let it go. Maybe I'll just hang out here by myself, and we'll hang out in the Mixler chat room.
There you go. That'd be fun. So thanks, as always, for listening. Thanks to the chat room for coming out. And we'll see you in 2 weeks with another episode of the Ask the Podcast Coach show.